everything he dreamed about for months, make that years? He was pretty much on autopilot, trying not to think about anything except getting this done right, then getting in and out of the movie theater without anybody noticing his face or too much else about him. The bearded guy was standing at the urinal, which was kind of good news, actually. The shot was nicely framed and art-directed. Wrinkled, grungy black t-shirt that said NYU Film School with a Clapsticks logo on the back reminded him of a character out of a Daniel Clowes comic book, and that graphic shit was hot right now. And action, he said. Then he shot the poor bearded loser in the back of the head, watched him drop like a heavy sack to the bathroom floor, lie there, nothing moving. The blast roared through his head in the tiled room, louder than he dreamed it would be.
Hey, what happened?
Hey,
he heard, and the storyteller whirled around as if there was an audience watching him in the men's room. Two guys from the Sutton Theater crew had entered behind him. They must have been curious about the noise. And how much had they seen?
A heart attack, he said,
blurted it out, tried to sound convincing.
Man just fell over at the urinal. Help me get him up, poor guy. He's bleeding.
No panic. No affect. No second thoughts whatsoever. Everything was pure instinct now. Right, wrong, or indifferent. He raised his gun and shot both theater workers as they stood wall-eyed and dorky at the door. He shot them again when they were down on the floor. Just to be careful. Professional. And now he was really shaking. Legs like J-E-double-L-O, but trying to walk very calmly out of the men's room. Then out of the Sutton Theater onto 57th, heading east on foot. Everything outside feeling completely unreal and otherworldly. Everything so bright and brassy. He'd done it. He'd killed three people instead of just one. His first three murders. It was just practice. But he'd done it. And you know what? He could do it again. Practice makes perfect, the storyteller whispered under his breath as he hurried toward his car. His getaway car, right? God, this was the best feeling of his life. Of course, that didn't say much for his life up to now, did it? But watch out from here on. Just watch out. For Mary Mary, quite contrary. Of course, he was the only one who got that. So far, anyway.
Chapter 2.
You think you can kill again in cold blood? He asked himself many times after the New York murders. You think you can stop this now that you've started? You think? The storyteller waited. Almost 5 months of self-torture, also known as discipline, or professionalism, or maybe cowardice. Until it was his time. Then he arrived in the kill zone again. And this time it wasn't going to be practice. This was the real deal. And it wasn't a stranger who was going to die. He was just a face in the crowd at the 3:10 showing of The Village at the Westwood Village Theater in Los Angeles. There were a number of patrons, which was good news for him and, he supposed, for the film's star director, M. Night Shyamalan. What kind of name was that? M. Night. Self-conscious phony. Apparently Patrice Bennett was among the last people in town to see the horror film. Also, Patrice actually deigned to sit in a real movie theater with real ticket buyers for her movie fix. How quaint was that? Well, she was famous for it, wasn't she? It was Patrice's shtick. She'd even bought her ticket ahead of time, which was how he knew she'd be there. So this wasn't target practice anymore, and everything had to be just right. And it would be. Never a doubt. The story was already written in his head. For one thing, he couldn't be spotted by anyone in the theater. So he went to the 12 o'clock. Then when the show let out, he waited around in a bathroom stall until the 3:10. Nail-biting, nerve-thwacking ordeal. But not that bad, really. Especially since if he was spotted, he'd simply abort the mission. But the storyteller wasn't sane. At least he didn't think so. And he didn't see anyone he knew. Now the theater had more than 100 viewers, or rather, suspects, right? At least a dozen of them were perfect for his purposes. Most important, his gun had a silencer now, something he'd learned from the thrill-packed run-through in New York City. Patrice sat in the balcony. "Works for me, Patsy," he thought. "You're being way too thoughtful, especially for you, you uber bitch." He was watching her from across the aisle and a few rows behind. This was so delicious. He wanted the luxurious anticipation of revenge to go on and on. Except that he also wanted to pull the trigger and get the hell out of the Westwood Theater before something went wrong. But what could go wrong, right? When Joaquin Phoenix got stabbed by Adrian Brody, he calmly wrote...